Yeah. Hi, I'm Sharon Massini. So I'll start with the elective, since as Alan pointed out, you all don't need to be convinced to sign up for Micro B. So I'm teaching Public Policy 533, Public Health in Developing Countries. So we start off this course looking at what's happened to population over time and place. So in particular, we look at kind of what's happened to health over the last 100 years and note that essentially the people in the healthiest countries have doubled life expectancy over the last 100 years. So everyone in this room pretty much would be elderly 100 years ago on their way out, and now life expectancy is thankfully much higher in some countries. What we'll focus on is kind of why has that happened in the richer countries, and what does that mean for the poorer countries of the world where life expectancy is still quite low in many places. So that'll sort of set the stage for the course. And then we'll dive into a bunch of different specific topics, public health topics. So some examples, we'll talk about population policy and gender bias in health and healthcare. We'll talk about access to medicine globally. We'll talk about health systems performance, so what's worked and what doesn't in health reform efforts in developing countries. So with each of these areas, there will be sort of two goals. One is to dive in substantively, so just learn, talk, discuss about the details on these topics. And the other is to try and develop a set of tools to look at kind of whatever specific public health issue that you're interested in or may be interested in 20 years. So an example is to think about kind of comparative tools, so comparing policies across countries and trying to glean generalizations that might be useful. So there's one section of the course where we look at HIV policy. And the way I'm going to set this up this year is to have each student pick a country that they're interested in, write a research paper, a 4 or 5 page research paper on HIV policy in that country, the history of HIV, history of HIV control, policies by the government, by NGOs, et cetera. And then you'll get together in small groups, 4 or 5 people, representing 4 or 5 different countries. And you'll talk through, compare and contrast what's going on in the different countries, try and get a sense of what works generally and what doesn't. And then individually, you'll write up a memo pretending to be work for a foundation or some other pot of money where you're trying to allocate resources, a limited set of money to different countries to help them fight HIV. And you sort of talk about how you would do that, what sort of criteria you would use. So that's one example of thinking about using comparative analysis, learning the tools of comparative analysis that could be broadly useful, not just in reference to HIV policy. We'll also spend a significant amount of time looking at global pharmaceutical policy and access to medicine and trying to improve access to medicine in poor countries. We'll break down into groups and do a debate where you're taking on the role of one of many actors that are involved and try and debate the different types of policy alternatives out there to try and change how the system works. That's, I think, all I wanted to say. And then also there's a final project with 533. So you pick a specific issue that you're interested in and you try and use the tools from that semester and write a memo, policy memo, and then also present to the rest of the class. So that's it, I think, for 533. So 558 is Micro B. So for those of you who have spent the semester in Micro A, Micro B will start off as an extension of Micro A. We'll still use the red Pindake and Rubenfeld for a couple of weeks anyway. And what we'll be doing is trying to expand on a couple of topics that haven't been covered yet in Micro A. A lot of Micro A is spent building up the standard model, perfect competition, et cetera, with lots and lots of assumptions, as you all I'm sure know. Towards the end of Micro A, my understanding is that you start to relax some of those assumptions and you start thinking about, for example, concentrated market power, monopoly, monopsony. We're going to spend the first part of Micro B relaxing other assumptions. And so we'll look at things like externalities and asymmetric information, not words that mean anything to you necessarily if you haven't taken Micro B yet, but that will mean something in a couple of months. And I think that these are very interesting topics, I hope, for all of you, because basically these are what economists call market failures, when the sort of basic assumptions and the you know, free market, et cetera, fail. And it's fundamentally interesting to all of you because that's where, in from an economist perspective, the government jumps in. So these are, this is at the heart of microeconomic analysis of public policy. The second part of micro B is we'll spend a bunch of time on cost-benefit analysis, so a specific tool that is used in some government agencies to try and analyze alternative proposals or policy proposals. And we'll get into the nitty-gritty. We'll also talk about the big picture of cost-benefit analysis. We'll look at some specific examples and let you get your hands dirty a little bit on cost-benefit analysis too. So that'll be a big chunk of Micro B as well. So I look forward to seeing a lot of you in Micro B and hopefully a bunch of you in 533 as well. Thank you.